Welcome to the Inside College Soccer Podcast, brought to you by Sports Recruiting USA, the college soccer recruiting experts. Now, here's your host, Chris Cousins.
Hi everyone, Chris Cousins here, the founder of Sports Recruiting USA. We've got another great podcast. This time we've got a player called Lorn Bickley. He's just finished his college career in the States. He's come back to England and he's signed a contract over here at Hartlepool United. So my colleague James Dawes once again stepping in and he's getting the interviews done at the minute. He's been interviewing quite a lot of people and we'll get them pumped out and some really good things going on. So yeah, obviously I hope everyone's well. Weird situation going on around the world still, and everyone seems to be plodding along, and it's just we'll all get through it eventually. So it's just one of them things, I guess. But so thanks obviously for tuning in. One thing I could ask you to do is if you've got time, just to leave us a review, leave 5 stars on Apple Podcasts, Spotify or whatever. It does really help, and obviously we like to hear feedback as well. So we're getting a lot of feedback at the minute, which is cool. So yeah, that's it for now. So obviously thanks for, once again, for tuning in. This is James Dawes about to interview Lorn Bickley, and this is the Inside College Podcast.
All right, guys, we've got another good podcast for you today. I'm joined by Lorn Bickley. Lorn, thanks for joining us, mate. How's things?
Yeah, not bad, thanks. Just back home and can't really be doing much. So stuck indoors trying to keep fit, but is what it is.
That's it, mate. You've just got to keep ticking over until you get back out there. Hopefully it'll be back soon. But so, Lorn, just wanted to start, obviously, before we go into sort of your collegiate career and where you're at now with Hartlepool and stuff, I just wanted to take you back before, you know, our time pre-America. Do you want to just give us a, you know, a quick summary of your background, you know, where you played growing up, what sort of standard you were playing at, that sort of thing?
Yeah, so it wasn't, Jersey's a bit different to England in regards to the football standard. It was pretty much for me, as soon as I hit 16, it was all about playing adult football, playing first team, whether it be club or representing Jersey. So I'd play club football about 16, but because Jersey's so small, I'd play football against teachers. Like, I would play football against Darwin Nove, who might play for Jersey. And then when I got to 17, I was breaking into the Jersey squad. And it was a case of, do I stay here and keep playing and play for Jersey? It's not going nowhere. Jersey balls weren't about then. Mm-hmm. I was playing for the Ireland team under 18s, captaining the side. But I felt that I could go on further. Mm-hmm. And I didn't know which way to go, because you can't just go to England from Jersey. It's not as easy as that.
Right.
So it was literally just about playing in Jersey, playing to the highest standard you can, and then seeing what happens when you get to 18.
Yeah, because this is what I found interesting, obviously, being from Jersey and stuff. What sort of opportunities is there for lads? I mean, do the best lads often find themselves going over to England and stuff like that? Or like you say, is it not that easy?
It's not as easy. It's got better now. There's a thing here called JFA. It's the Centre of Excellence. Mm-hmm. They've got some good links. I think they've got links with Fulham now, Southampton. So they try show some like players through that way, but it's hard. Only around my age group, I can only think of one lad who's at Fulham, Marlon Fossey. He's the only lad I know that's pretty much made it. Mm.
Yeah, so obviously with that in mind, you're growing up, you're playing, you obviously notice you've got a bit of ability there. And so when does America sort of come into the picture, and how did that come about?
I knew, basically, I didn't think I was smart enough to go to England, an English uni.
Yeah.
And I needed a drive to go to university. So I thought playing football at a high level, which would make me having to stay on top of my grades in order to play, I thought that would be the best option for America. But I knew a couple of lads a couple of years above me. They've also done it.
Okay.
And I asked them and they sort of helped me through it and stuff, and thought it was the best option for me.
Yeah. And did it, you know, was it one of those things as soon as you saw it, like you knew that was for you, or did it take time? Was it an hard decision? Obviously, you talked about, you know, there may be different options that you had at the time. So, how was the decision for you?
It wasn't that hard. To be honest, I thought getting away, Jersey's too small for me personally to be able to get away and go enjoy something that's not many people are going to be able to do. I thought it was one chance in a lifetime, so I had to take it.
Yeah, absolutely. And you just mentioned there, so were you planning on, if it wasn't for America, do you think you would have gone to university anyway? Was education a big thing for you at this point, or was it football?
No.
Football?
Yeah, no, I wouldn't have gone to university. I probably would have ended up staying in Jersey, to be honest, and playing and seeing where that got me, if anyone noticed or whatnot. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't have gone to university, so I don't know. I'd probably be working on site or something. So.
Yeah, well, it's ended up working out for you in the end, hasn't it? So, no regrets there. So talk to me. You spent, 4 years at Wilmington. Why Wilmington? You know, I'm guessing you had other options on the table, and why did you settle there?
Yeah, I think I went to a showcase, and there was, I think there's around 50 American coaches that go to it. And I got the chance to, they liked you, they could speak to you. Mm-hmm. I got the chance to speak to a couple of them, but Coach Nick at Wilmington, me and my mum sat down with him, and I think he just, from that moment, we just clicked. Mm-hmm. He was helpful. He didn't put it across, it was all football based. Like, a lot of coaches were like football, whereas he was more like, we've got more things to offer than just football. You're gonna learn this. You're gonna grow in this way.
Yeah.
And I don't know. It's kind of stood out to me, and I don't know. I thought I'd trust him, and I guess the trust worked.
Yeah, because a lot of boys are gonna be seeing this, and obviously playing for Hartlepool now. A lot of guys, you know, when they think, all right, I want to go professional, they think I've got to go straight into the biggest D1 school possible and go down that route. But your journey sort of went a different way, so. In terms of when you get to that stage where you're looking to make a decision to go to a school, you mentioned there, obviously, getting on to the coach is a big thing. Getting on with the coach, should I say, is a big thing. But what else sort of comes into it for you, do you think?
I think I had a couple of offers from D1 schools. Mm-hmm. But for me personally, now I've been to America and been able to witness our play against D1 schools in spring. Mm-hmm. The D1 schools aren't actually that much better. I played University of Delaware. I played them 3 times. I've never lost to them. Mm-hmm. I've played a couple of D1 schools. I've never lost to a D1 school in spring.
Yeah.
And I don't believe, I think they've just got a bigger name and more funding. But the D2 schools can easily match the D1 schools.
Yeah.
I think it's all about knowing your level for starters. And then from then you can progress. And knowing you're going to play, I think, is the most important thing. You don't want to go out to America and not play.
Absolutely, yeah. And I think that's what we try and get across to our lads, and, you know, lads listening to this, it's so important to go in there, you know, with somewhere that you feel you're going to develop and, like you say, going to play, most importantly, because it's,
yeah,
if you're anything like us, you're probably, you're at your happiest when you're playing, really, aren't you? So,
yeah.
So just on that, Lorne, obviously, playing in Jersey, you know, you've committed to Wilmington and you get that out there. So in your first few days over there, so how do you adapt? Like, are you surprised by the sort of the standard, you know, the facilities that you've got? What's your first initial impressions when you get out there?
I couldn't believe I was there, to be honest. There was a lot of Wilmington, a lot of different, like, diversities and people coming from different backgrounds, to be honest. I lived with a lot of English lads. Mm-hmm. They come from all over the place, to be fair. Epsom, down in Bournemouth, Essex. So I live with a lot of English lads, but then I had Spanish lads, Jamaican lads, Nigerian. Mm-hmm. I mean, so from Jersey, you don't really see all these different sort of people, and being able to talk to them and get to know where they're from and why they're here, and it kind of made you realise that what you're doing is kind of special. Mm-hmm. So when I first got there, that first training session, we normally do a captain's practice, so it's no coaches, just training within the lads. You kind of got to know their sort of ability. And I was impressed. I thought everyone was top notch. There wasn't really anyone stood out as a weaker link. Everyone's there to fight for places from day one, so it's great to be around.
Yeah, and like you say, was the standard similar, or was it better than what you were used to playing at, do you think?
Yeah, it was better than what I've played at. As I said, like, Jersey's got good players. Mm-hmm. But you get to that boundary, and that's like, you can't peak, really.
Fair enough. And so, you know, going into your freshman season, it went really well, obviously. You got a few accolades there, so you're second team all-region and first team all-conference, I think. So, you know, how do you look back on your freshman year? How did it go as a whole?
To be honest, it was frustrating to start. As I said before about getting in and making sure you're going to start, mm-hmm. I got in there. I thought I'd start. I thought I was what he wanted. I didn't start the first game. I didn't even play the first game. Pre-season, I broke a couple fingers in my hand from landing after a header. So I was out a couple of days. And then, yeah, I didn't start the first game. And then one of the striker coaches was like, yeah, we need to play him. And the first game I played, I scored two. And then just kicked on from there, really.
Yeah. I think it's important because we're going to go into like what happened in your junior season as well later on. But, you know, for lads going out there, a lot of guys go out there with high expectations. They're going to go right in there from a freshman and start straight away. So what is the right attitude to have if that's not the case, do you think?
Humble, I think. I know it gets thrown around a lot, but you need to realise that there might be a senior or a junior that's been there 2 or 3 years and the coach knows what he's about. So you need to bring something extra. You need to be, you know, you don't have to play like that player who's playing. You need to bring a different aspect to the game. That different aspect might include the number 10, the two wingers. Do you know what I mean? So it's whatever best suits the team. You just need to be yourself, I think, and just respect what's going on around you.
Yeah, absolutely. And you've talked to her about the environment being around different sort of nationalities and stuff like that. How do you think like the team environment affects how well the team does?
On the pitch or off the pitch?
Both.
Yeah, no, I think it was brilliant both ways. Like, for me, what stands out the most was the Jamaican lads. For some reason, as my years went on, more and more of them started to come to the university. And no, they were all quality. They brought like an uplifting spirit. Mm-hmm. Everyone wanted to be around them. They all wanted to be around us. I think everyone just bounced off each other when you get to know each other a bit more. And it's shown off the pitch when you do, I don't know, you do socialising events, you go out for dinners, you have people around for drinks, FIFA tournaments. Mm-hmm. It shows on the pitch what you can do. So I think it's a big part. Yeah,
at college. And just on that as well, so we talked mainly there about you adapting to things from a football point of view, but off the field as well, you know, living away from home, going to classes, doing your education side of things as well. How do you think lads should approach that sort of transition, and how did you approach it?
I was lucky enough that one of my house, the way they situated the soccer players, that it was all pretty much around the university. We weren't based on the campus, we were off campus.
Okay.
And I live with eight lads in total, mm-hmm. and most of us were freshmen. So we'd all walk to class together, we'd finish class together, we'd do homework together. And I think we all kept each other accountable for making sure we would do that work, because if someone slips and you don't play.
Yeah.
So I think if you love football that much and you want to have the best experience, you ain't going to let your work slip. Even if it's just doing the bare minimum, you still need to do it.
No, I think it's a brilliant point, mate. And so obviously freshman season goes well, scored 12 goals in your first season, sophomore season, another solid one, making the, you know, all each region again. And then talk to us about your junior season, mate. What sort of happened there?
In the spring, we're doing a lot of weight sessions in the gym and whatnot. And I put on the difference in, I don't know, sheer weight I was putting on between my sophomore and freshman season. I think it was about 20 pounds. Mm. It was a joke. And I got too top heavy, I'm putting it down to. And then I finished sophomore season and my knee was starting to give me a bit of grief. I went home and then I got x-ray and that, and they said, yeah, you've torn your meniscus.
Really?
But I must have been playing with a torn meniscus for months. And then I go out to America with a torn meniscus, hoping I'll be back in time for midway of the season. Mm. It didn't work, and I was sat on the sidelines for the whole season. Yeah, it wasn't the best time in America.
And I think this is like such an important point, because obviously having played over there myself and seeing lads go through this and myself to a certain extent in my senior year, it is very taxing on you mentally, because you know you're wanting to play every minute of every game, like you've said. And then when you get out there and you're watching the boys train every day and watching them play, and that's not an issue, it can sort of play on you mentally. So what's your attitude, Lorne, during this time? Is it kind of, you know, just rehab until I get the chance to play again? Or are you downhearted? How did your junior year sort of go as a whole?
I think when I first got back there, it was hot in pre-season. I saw the lads out there training, how the team was set up. I think from like a selfish point of view, my head was like, I'm playing, that's like, he's in my position, that's my position, he's playing. But it was hard. And then So I was kind of low to start, and then I finally started my actual rehab, going to like the gym and starting like that with a physio company. But I was, another lad on the team who'd done his ankle, he was with me at the same time.
Okay.
So we could kind of bounce off each other to keep us going. But it felt like it wouldn't end, to be honest. It just felt like it would go on. And like, I was doing stuff and I wasn't strong enough. And I was thinking, I can't play X, I'm not strong enough.
Mm.
I was getting more and more frustrated myself because I want to just be there playing.
Mm-hmm.
So it was just hard. And I think I rushed it. And I regret it now looking back, because I rushed it. And then when it comes to spring, had Christmas, I came back home and played. And I went back out in spring and I tore it again.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, so it takes a lot to sort of bounce back from that. But obviously in your case, it looks like it kind of paid off in a sense, because you kind of went off in your... It's classed as your redshirt junior year, but you know, your senior season there from a student point of view. So what sort of changed for you, mate, in terms of, you know, you went from scoring sort of 10, 12 goals, doing really well, all these, you know, region player, which is no mean feat by any means, but then you take it to this next level in your senior season. And do you think that's because of what happened in your junior year?
I do put it down to that. I just think I was training over home in summer, and I was getting up at silly o'clock, about 6 o'clock, just to go down to the beach and just train hard. And I was just thinking, like, if I keep training, surely something's going to pay off. And the coach, Nick, he always said that this is all happening for a reason. And at the time when he said that, I'm thinking, I hope it does, because I ain't sitting out 9 months again.
Yeah.
It was just down to sheer working hard and commitment. And I think everyone around me was keen to have me back, and that I was keen to play with them after seeing the season they had. They had the best season, I weren't involved. So I just wanted to be involved with it and make the next season even better, and I think that's what we did.
Yeah, and how does your sort of your mindset change? Obviously, going through your freshman year, you know, you're new to everything. Everything's sort of, you know, new, and you're treated like a rookie. But going into your senior year, how do you sort of approach that differently in terms of responsibility point of view and a leadership point of view, do you think?
Yeah, so I had a big senior class. I think it was about 10 of us. Mm-hmm. So we were able to work together and spread our 4 years of knowledge around to everyone below us. But it wasn't hard in the sense of having to get everyone on the same page. I think everyone done that. It was more the fact that we needed to get everyone to realise how good we can be. I don't think anyone realised how good we can be when we worked together, how we did. And that was the hardest thing, I think, to be honest.
Yeah. And with this, you know, I spoke to you earlier just before we started recording about we're going to have a lot of boys listening to this that are looking to take inspiration from you, you know. So if you could tell, you know, a young Lorne Bickley before he went out to the States, or lads going out there into the freshman year, what sort of advice do you give them on the back of your experience?
People say don't set goals. Some people say set goals. I would say set goals that are achievable.
Mm-hmm.
And you want to know, for a striker, you want to know how many goals you're going to score. But don't do it until you get there. I think you need to go there and be open-minded, because what you expect might not be what is there, and what you don't expect might be what's there. So I think being open-minded is key. I think just enjoy it. But I wish now that I could have that extra year. If I wanted to take it, I wish I could have that extra year and just play again, because I miss all them boys so much.
Yeah, I can. And this sort of leads me on to my next question is, obviously, you know, we talked about your options that you had prior to going out to the States, but is there any regret at all, or do you know, is there any regret in terms of the school that you went to or the decision that you made at all?
No, I think, like, some people say, because Wilmington, Delaware is quite like a small state, there wasn't much going on, but I mean, I was close to New York, I was close to Washington, go down to Philadelphia if I wanted to. All that stuff is there outside of football.
Mm.
The school itself, I think it was perfect for me. It was small, it was close, where I could go do my classes, get my work, have the help, and then I've also got an unbelievable facility and stuff in order to play football and, you know, achieve what I can do on the pitch with the team. So it all worked out. I don't think it could have been better for me personally.
Yeah, and in terms of your development, you know, when you look back to yourself as a freshman and now you're obviously graduated with Hartlepool now, but how much did you come on from a footballing point of view, do you think?
Yeah, I think I just learned learnt more, to be honest. Whereas the first couple seasons, it was more like, I don't know how to explain. It was more just my head was everywhere. Just, I want to do this, I want to do that, I want to do this. Whereas when I could calm down in my senior year and I realised I could take a step back.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have to go 100 miles an hour to do stuff on the field. You know what I mean? You can take your time.
Would you say then, you know, in terms of your improvements, you'd say your biggest improvement by far was from sort of a maturity and a mentality point of view, that you managed to take your game to the next level through that?
Yeah, 100%. I think that's what it is. I think you see players now, and I think on the field in college level, you can instantly tell who the older ones are and who the younger ones are. And I think without being horrible to the younger ones, if you're playing against them, you can pinpoint them. They're kind of seen as like the weaker link because they're not all there yet. But then if you see them in their senior year, they've all improved. So I think that's the main thing.
And the best lads you've played with or played against, for example, you know, over in the States, what do you think they all have in common? What makes them successful?
Sheer hard work. You can tell who puts in the hard work and who don't. Like, I played not so much in this league. It was more when you got to the national tournament, you can see the difference in the players. In the leagues, you're kind of playing against them. You kind of know who you're playing against.
Mm-hmm.
But then when you start seeing the teams down in Florida, PBA, you can tell how much effort they've put in and where they've got to. And I think that's where you find most of the players who go pro in D2. They're more coming from them sort of schools compared to the East Coast where we are.
Yeah. And just with that, like, you know, we've talked a lot about the football side of things again, but just going, you know, taking a step back there, what do you think, you know, from a lifestyle point of view, from an experience point of view, from a, you know, a maturity point of view outside of football, how did you think that, you know, the US college experience, you know, favoured you in that regard?
Yeah, it's done me wonders because, I mean, I didn't have a car there. None of my house had a car there, so we'd rely on other lads to take us places, like to training, for example. We'd walk to the shops, get our shopping, walk back. We had eight of us. We take turns cooking.
Yeah.
So some lads went there, like, didn't know really know what to cook, how to cook, and we all learned. Do you know what I mean? We had a Jamaican lad who just knocked up some jerk chicken here and there. It was nice, and I think that's what led me on to now. I felt like when I come home, even to Jersey, I can just cook. I know what to do. I can do this. I know how to look after myself. How to treat myself. And I think it's just from learning them certain things at 18. But now I'm living in England, in Jersey, on my ones. I can do these without ease and without even thinking about it.
Yeah, and that sort of was my next question. How do you think, you know, college life prepared you for life outside of life after college, should we say? You know.
It just enhances your maturity, I think. I've grown up a lot. I was, do you know what I mean? I was a bit of a kid, a bit of a clown before I went. but I've just grown up, taking a step back from things and just taking it all in and learn more.
Yeah. So obviously with that, you know, you finish your senior season, if you like. You're doing your red shirt season. Number one in the country, 26 goals, 3 assists. So what sort of options do you have on the table after that long, you know, finishing college from a footballing point of view? Did you have options on the table or?
So I had a couple of, during the season, I had a couple of agencies message me, email me about like what my plans are after the season, because I've still got that other year left, so I could still play. But I felt I was ready just to move on and play at a higher level. And then it all finished and stuff, went home for Christmas. And I was expecting to get a couple of emails or something, at least from any American teams.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing come through that I heard of. And then I had a guy back here who used to coach me, and he said, "What's your plans?" And I said, I'm sort of losing the will, to be honest. I mean, I've done all this and I've got nothing's really come of it. I don't know how to approach it. I don't know what to do. And he said, "Listen, I can, if you're keen about it and you still want to play, I can message a lad I know and see if you could go down for a trial." And then I went down for a trial at Hartlepool, and yeah, it was cracked on from there. Didn't look back.
Yeah, and then obviously, so you get on trial there, Hartlepool, you know, is a highly, you know, reputable team, and everybody knows of them here in England and stuff. So you get there again, and I guess in some ways it's similar to your first few days in America, in the fact that you're the new guy, you know, you're playing with players you've never played before. So standard-wise, yeah. There, how did you find that, you know, going from a D2 level school, a decent D2 level in Wilmington, how did you feel like you coped?
Yeah, I think you just got to think of it again of being open-minded. I went there and thought, I've scored 26 goals, I've got 3 assists, I've won, blah, blah, blah. But these lads have played here, this is their club now, you're not actually in the club yet, you're still trialling. So I got there, when I was trialling, I just thought, be confident in yourself and just try and crack on. And that week, when the gaffer wanted to sign me, and I went down to training, and it was just more, the players think quicker, I think, was the main key. I think instead of taking 2 touches, for example, a lad could turn on 1 touch and play it out. It was just quicker mindset. And I think with the quicker mindset comes the ability. Mm-hmm. And that's the main difference. Probably took me, I'll be honest, took me about a week to adapt to how quick it was. Not really playing, because I trust my ability. It was more the movement and where to go, think that second quicker. But I think there is definitely a difference between when you play D2 and then you go to that next level. But I think it's capable for anyone who wants to do it. It's not just if you're D1, you go to that next level, you'll be fine. It's not the case. I think D1 players, you find a lot of them who go through the MLS draft and they don't play in the MLS because they're not at that standard. They go to USL, where a lot of D2 players go to. So.
Yeah, well, we were speaking to, like I said, Aaron Malloy the other day, who went to Portland Timbers, and he had a very similar answer to what you said. You know, it's not that different other than the speed of thought, but I think that's just the progression through the levels, you know.
Yeah.
Obviously, there's got to be a difference, because otherwise it wouldn't be a step up for yourself, but absolutely. So, you know, looking at it now, you're in and around the Hartlepool. What's your sort of goals and what you're looking to achieve from football?
Well, I need to see what happens when all this is done, how it's going to affect the club.
Yeah.
There's been a couple of changes in the backroom staff, as well as need to see who's staying, who's going. I just want to I've made a name for myself in America at D2 level. I want to crack on here. I want to make a name for myself. I don't want to be a kid that he went to America, he done this, and he went to England and didn't do it well. I want to just crack on. I keep working hard. I'm still working now just to get over back into England, just work hard. I just want to be the best I can, to be honest. Give another name from Jersey.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And, you know, I think it's important to ask this question because, you know, looking back, you're 17, 18 years old. You probably backed yourself back then. You probably still do now. As in, you know, good enough to play at a high standard. Do you think you were capable back then, as opposed to now, to make that jump, or did you think you needed that extra time to develop?
I think ability-wise, I could have gone into an academy, playing in an academy if given the opportunity. But going to America, I think, has helped me all round, not just obviously on the pitch, off the pitch, but my maturity and experience I've gained just from playing college level is giving me enough quality to play at this level now. So I don't regret anything in the way I've done it.
Absolutely. And so what did you come out with your degree in the end, Lord?
Sports management degree.
Sports management and stuff. Yeah, so is there any goals outside of the field as well? Is that off of the field, should I say, in regards to what you want to achieve there? Anything on the horizon?
So, yeah, I'm just waiting to see. So it'll be next couple of years or so. I want to settle in playing football first, wherever I am. And then hopefully when I've cracked on with that, I want to get my teaching degree, that 1 year teaching degree. And then when that season finishes, when my football career ends at some stage, I can crack on with that and just give back a bit of knowledge from what I've learned and give it to others.
Yeah, and how important do you think that is in football and life in general, to have more than, you know, just football to you, you know, more another string to your bow, as it were, do you know what I mean? Having something else to focus on.
Yeah, I mean, I learned that at 17, 18, I think everyone's just like football, like not bothered about doing classes and all that. It's just football. But I think being able to have that class, being able to have that degree, as soon as you finish, you don't have to be like, oh, what am I going to do now? It's more, oh, I can crack on with this. Mm-hmm. And I think if you've got that eagerness just to, you get your degree and you play a high level of football, instead of just sitting around, like an academy, if you're just going to play and then sit around and do nothing, you might as well, you know, waste your time effectively, I guess. And I think it's worth it, and it's gonna sort me out in the long run, definitely.
Yeah, definitely. So obviously we've touched on it briefly here, but kind of winding down here, have you got any advice to lads listening to this that maybe they go down the American route, maybe they don't, they pursue a contract in England, Jersey, wherever they are? What advice do you have to be as successful as they can from, you know, your experience?
I think you need to take your time learning about your options first. I recommend, even to lads now back in Jersey, I've got a couple younger lads, I haven't heard of them, I don't know who they are, they'll message me and they go, how'd you do it? And I'll point them down the right direction, who to contact, who can help them out. And do you know what I mean? I think there's going to be quite a lot of lads starting to go out the American route. I think it's getting more popular, mm-hmm. to be honest, with the agencies like yourselves, like promoting people. But I think you just need to keep your head down, stay focused and believe and achieve what you think you can, and you will do it.
Absolutely. And if people want to, you know, keep up to date with where you're at with your football and stuff, long, where can they find your social media tags and stuff like that?
Yeah, I'll tell you what, I don't even know my social media tags, but there's not, I wouldn't say there's many people called Lawn, so back in it, it's on Twitter, I'm on Instagram as well, and you can all follow me, do you know what I mean? I accept most people.
Yeah.
So,
We'll tag you in this when this gets released as well. But
yeah.
I think it's been brilliant, Lord. I think you know you give definitely a different insight. And like I said, you ended up getting into sort of the professional game and through a different means. You didn't go down the sort of the ordinary route or the regular route. You sort of took a detour, but you got there in the end, which is most important. And I think lads listening to this can take a great deal of, you know, inspiration from it, that they can go on to sort of replicate what you've done. So thank you very much for giving your time. We really appreciate it.
No worries. Appreciate you for listening to me.
Cheers.